Father, may your power be demonstrated. One wave, two waves, three waves tonight. May there be impartation of a life of prayer like none other upon your people. May the every person under the sound of my voice, may our spirits be open. May our hearts be open. In Jesus' mighty name, come and establish your kingdom. Come and establish your throne like never before. In Jesus' name, give him a praise offering, church. Come on, praise him. Okay, you are hungry tonight, that's good. I was thinking when we were worshiping, and the reason I went on so long is because we have this tendency of the third worship song is thinking, okay, when is the band going to stop and I'll listen? The Bible says there's three people God seeks after. Number one, his eyes run to and fro across the globe, across the earth, to look for those whose hearts are loyal to him. And it means, in an own translation, it says, whose hearts are fully committed. Are you guys with me? Commitment, fully committed. Those whose hearts are fully loyal to him. God is seeking those out. Number one. Number two, the Bible says that he, in the book of Ezekiel, just don't play a false note. Okay. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, I sought among you a man that could stand in the gap, but I found none. Which means that God is seeking, number two, for intercessors. Number three, in John chapter 4, he says, the scripture says that the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking those. Which means there's three people is looking, is seeking out. Are you guys with me? King David says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Which means everybody else is seeking God. But there's three people God is seeking for. Those who worship, those who intercede and pray, and those who are fully committed to him. Are you guys with me? Those are the ones God is looking for. The rest is seeking God. They can't find him. God is seeking for those and he can't find them. God will take, the Bible says there was an Ethiopian that was riding in his chariot and he came to worship God, the scripture says. And then he was reading a scripture in the book of Isaiah and he couldn't understand it because he wasn't yet saved, as in salvation, as in the way of salvation hasn't been explained to him. And the Bible says that Philip, just appeared there to him and ran next to him in the chariot, God giving Philip supernatural speed. Are you guys with me? Running in the chariot with, Philip is running next to the chariot. The Ethiopian is in the chariot. And he preaches the gospel to him. The Bible says the Ethiopian came to worship. And then you find them in the water and he baptizes the man. As the guy comes up out of the water, Philip was taken away. And God put him in another city. Which means that God put him there in that scene just because there was a worshiper. Are you guys with me? God is seeking those who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Whether it is 1 hour, 2 hours, we are conditioned to 30 minutes and we are conditioned to just that bit of worship and we think, okay, but when is it going to, listen, God is not going to move. I've been in services, we had the glory of God coming in. Sometimes it will happen by 9:30 when those who tolerating God left, that those who celebrate him stays. Are you guys with me? Say with you the law of demand. Say the law of, say the law of demand and supply. Say expectation. That is how the supernatural works. That is how we tap into the power of God that is present. He's looking for a demand from the hearts of the people. Are you guys with me? And we're going to prophesy over some people. Pray for, well, at the end, we're going to pray for a lot. But I feel that there's some people that God is going to really baptize with prayer, and he's going to put a mantle of prayer on. But I have a lot of revelation to tell you tonight. That's if you place a demand, okay? The scripture says in Genesis 1 verse 26, around there, I'm not exactly sure, maybe you're going to put it up, let's see. Then God said, let us make man. Say with me, let us. And I want to preach on the face of God. I think we'll do that at the end of the month and we'll do a big service. But there's things that people don't know about the face of God. When the face of God is turned towards someone, what it means. What it means when the face of God is turned away. And what God means in you know, when we look at the Godhead, and I'll explain to you just now. How many know we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? The triune God. So, but he said, let us make man. So God is speaking amongst himself to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and whoever else is present. And he said, let us make man in our image. Say with me, our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Let them, say with me, let them. It is amazing because now we see that first of all, okay, put on 3 verse 22. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Listen. We have read the scripture in always one way. God is saying, listen here, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and their eyes opened. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. Are you guys with me? That phrase is, I want you to understand that. Because when we're going to get into the face of God, I'll explain that. But let's say, Chris, if you can come stand here. Let me give an example. I don't know. Let Marie come and stand. I'm just trying to explain something. And somebody small like Josh. Okay. I want to explain to you. Let's say they are not the same. Because you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? The Son came as man. Being born through the womb of a woman. To come into this world through a legal way. And I'll explain just now why. So, we know how the Son looks like. He looks like one of us. Are you guys with me? But the Bible doesn't explain how the Holy Spirit looks like or how God looks like. Sometimes we think God looks like the Son. But when the scripture says, behold, the man has become like one of us. The phrase one of us can be read in two different ways. Like one of us, he's like us being made one of us. But the actual tense that it is read in is that that man has become like one of us, which means like he has become like this, he has become like the Son, or he has become like the Father, but we don't know which one. Only he has become like one of us that's here. Only the Son, or this one, or that one. Adam has been made, a man has been made in the image of God, which means, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand out and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. He has become like one of us. So through one of us. When you see, when you look at someone, you see the glory of God. When we look at a person, the Bible says that we are made in the image of God, in the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, that we are beholding the glory of the Lord with an unveiled face. As looking in a mirror. Are you guys with me? As we are looking in a mirror, beholding, what does it mean? We are looking into a mirror and we're seeing the glory of God. What do you see when you look into a mirror? Yourself. When we understand that the glory of God manifested is that when a person, a believer, is walking in the fullness of what God has for them. That when Jesus was on the mountaintop, the Bible says that James, John, Peter, and John was with him. and he was transfigured. His face began to shine with light, and his clothes, as bright as the sun, began to shine. Why? He came to a place where he showed his glory. But he could only do it around Peter, James, and John, not the rest of the disciples. Which means God can only, even God himself, who is the Son, could only be his best around a certain few. That if you have the wrong person around you, you cannot be manifested to the fullness of what God wants you to be. Are you guys with me? So man has become like one of us. Meaning like not one that looks like all of us. No, he's just become one of us. God is infinite. We don't know how it looks like. The Bible says that no one has seen God and live. But yet, if you look at Jacob, he wrestled with a man through the night. And the man turned out to be God, an angel of the Lord, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that after the wrestle, Jacob said, I have seen God in this place, face to face, and I have lived. There the scripture contradicts one another. Where another scripture says, no one has seen God and lived. Yet Jacob says, I have seen God face to face and lived. But he hasn't seen God, he saw the Son. Are you guys with me? The angel of the Lord was the Son. So he saw Jesus Christ face to face, not God face to face. There's an aspect of the face of God which believers haven't seen. So when God says, behold, man has become one, like one of us, it means only one, not like all of us, like only one person, like the Son. There's another aspect. The Bible says God has seven eyes moving to back and forth. Oh, anyway, okay. You guys can have your seats. Are you guys with me? There are these eyeballs that'll move back and forth. That's when you encounter God, okay? Okay. Let's go back to Genesis 1 verse 26. It says, Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, let us make a man in our image. God is saying, let us together make a man in our own image. Let them, say with you, let them. That phrase, as many of you know, that's been in our church for a while, that is where God immediately gives authority over to mankind. He shifts all his authority over to mankind, which means that from that moment, God does not have license to come into the earth realm. Are you guys with me? That's why when he made Eve, he had to put Adam to sleep and take Eve out of Adam. Because he couldn't take Eve out of the earth because the earth belonged to Adam. But Adam belonged to God. So when the Bible says, let them have dominion, it means that God has shifted authority to believers, the license for heaven to invade earth, which means that God, it is illegal for God to move in any place, in a business, in a family, in a church, without the prayers of people. How do you know that? Listen, Jesus had to be born through had to come as man, be born through a Virgin Mary, come through the canals of life to reach man. God had to come through a legal way to reach man. Are you guys with me? It was illegal another way. That's why he said to Moses, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell amongst my people. There was a certain way how God could only come in. Something had to be built. Prayers had to be prayed. Are you guys with me? I don't exactly know where I'm going, but let's see. Let them, say with you, let them have dominion. All authority is immediately given over to mankind, which means God is not going to move in a church. God is not going to move in a business, in a family, without somebody taking the initiative upon them to begin to intercede and pray. It is our prayers that gives God license to move. When you experience power in an atmosphere like we are here at ECC, and when we preach Sunday after Sunday, there's power in whatever way it is manifested. It is because of nothing but prayer. Are you guys with me? Prayer, I think it was... who was it? It was either Charles Finney. I'll check now the name. one of the generals of God said that I am convinced God does nothing except by prayer. So Smith Wigglesworth or Wesley. Okay. I am convinced that God does nothing except by prayer. You can see the amount, I think it was Dr. Yanke Chao said, who has one of the largest churches right now on the planet Earth, I think there are over 1 million people. And he said the difference between somebody who has a church of 300,000, at the time he said the quote was when his church was 300,000 people. He said the difference between someone who has a church of 300,000 and someone who has a church of 3,000 is 3 minutes of prayer and 30 minutes of prayer. And he just explained, and your statistics will show you that even pastors of a church, if they pray 5 minutes a week, it is a lot. That's why power is lacking in the church. The less a believer prays, the more weak a believer is. The more a believer prays, the more power that believer carries. The price that is paid in prayer will equal the power that is displayed in public. Are you guys with me? Say with me the license. Or say it like this, say I carry the license for heaven to move. God requires, listen, I want to go as far as saying almost that God needs man to move. He has given the earth over to us. We have given it to Satan in the God of Eden. Are you guys with me? From there, we know that Christ came back, died upon the cross, went into hell, took the keys of death, hell and the grave, and gave it back to the church, which means that right now the church carries the authority and still taking it back. But to a degree, the Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Are you guys with me? It was John Wesley who said that God does nothing except by prayer. Smith Wigglesworth said, if God doesn't move through my prayer, I will make his hand move. The Bible says, God says, command me ye the blessings of my hand. Which means that God is saying, listen, I implore that you will command me to bless you by my hand. Are you guys with me? Say with me, prayer. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, quickly. And many of you know this. The verse before this. It's chapter 2 verse something. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct God? I want you to listen to me there. Paul is saying, who has known the mind of the Lord? That person who knows it, who has known it, that he may give instructions to God. Then Paul answers himself and he says, but we have, certainly we have the mind of Christ, which means through prayer, you have the ability to be in a boardroom meeting on the committee member of heaven. Like for example, Moses, when God wanted to wipe out the people, why did he find it needful to go past Moses and say, Moses, listen here, I want to do this, this, this. And Moses would interject and say, God, this is your people. Don't destroy them. Repent from your anger. That Moses would say, repent from your anger. And the Bible has the audacity to say that God repented from his anger. What is it that man carries that has the ability to instruct or move God? Are you guys with me? Say with me, a people of prayer. Say this, say, I am a person of prayer. And I'm going to show you tonight, you can leave this place and say, I'm going to pray. It's not going to happen, okay? You will not pray unless a spirit of prayer comes on you. It's called the spirit of grace and supplication. People can say, I'm going to go read my Bible, go pray. Let's see if you do that. God must draw a person before that person can come. And we preached the other Sunday, we spoke about waiting on God. How do we get, how do I get God to begin to draw? And that I'll preach on the face of God. A person, only the people who has the face of God on them are drawn to do something. Others will try 5 minutes reading the word. It's dead. There's nothing. because there's not grace to do it. And you can fight, people can fight and argue on that thing. That is just how it is. The Bible says, no one comes to me unless I draw him to me. Unless God draws a people to him, we cannot get to him. How do we get to a place where he actually draws us, where we have find favor with him? That is what we need to find out. Are you guys with me? Where I can get into a place when I can get home and I feel a drawing, a hunger to go and seek the face of God, to go and pray. I feel a hunger to go and read the word or to go and intercede. That thing cannot be done in the flesh. Are you guys with me? So tonight, that's what we're going to pray for. And I think it is in Zechariah. It says, let me just read for you the scripture. And time flies, yes, I'm not going to go by time tonight. Listen, let me just look the scripture. Go to Zechariah 12 verse 10. Listen to this. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit, say with me, the spirit of grace and supplication. Word supplication is prayers, and I'll get into that in the next few weeks, actually what it means to make a supplication. It is a legal term used to plead in a court as a where we get the word Greek word desis from, meaning that you come and you bring a supplication, a plead for a court case to go your way. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that God says, come, bring your case, state your case. And let's reason together. There's about two or three scriptures where God is saying to his people in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, come present yourself before me in a court setting. Bring your evidence. Are you guys with me? So there's ways how we pray. And a lot of times we mess up prayer because we think it's just about asking this, asking that, asking this. No, no, no. There's a spirit of grace and supplication that gets poured out upon their people. And then when you leave this place, you'll have a hunger to pray. You'll have a hunger to seek him. But that needs to be cultivated. What happens is people go back into a place of carnality and they lose that hunger and they think God is not caring. No, 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 no. Baptized with prayer. Listen. Let me get to something that I have in my spirit. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings 17 verse 4. And I spoke this morning on the law of demand and supply, explaining how we may need to place a demand on the spirit in the atmosphere. Are you guys with me? A people that place a demand is a people that is hungry. I've preached at churches, like I said, we'll preach and it's dead. People just sit, they won't even look at you. They'll just look away, which means that their spirits have become dead. Laid hands, been at churches, you lay hands, you pray, you fast for 20 days, and you lay hands and people stand like pillars. If somebody doesn't receive, their spirits are closed. I'm not saying everybody must fall over, but there's a way a person receives where their spirit is open, their spirit is alive. And when we are like that, we draw on God. We are hungry. Listen, the Bible says that even Jesus himself could do no greater miracle in his own hometown except lay his hands on a few and a few be healed. How is it that even God was limited by familiarity? Even Jesus couldn't show himself to his disciples, only Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop. In ministry and in life, especially with ministry, when you have people around you that are familiar, they limit God from moving. Are you guys with me? That's one of the biggest mistakes in a local church. One of the biggest errors or things that can come in is when a local church gets familiar with their pastor, what happens is the pastor don't preach good anymore, the people don't pull anymore, and the anointing just dissipates. Familiarity. Even God doesn't want to be in any place where there's familiarity. Let's read you. Listen to this. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. Listen, God was speaking to Elijah here. And Elijah was sent to a brook where he was provided with by God. So with the provision, the brook gave him water. And it says, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Say with you there. When I was praying, I heard this with the Lord saying to me this, that there's a place called there. Now listen, you're going to see now. He said, listen, I have commanded supernatural provision to feed you there, Elijah, not here. Say with your location, which means that Elijah, if he would have gone anywhere else, there would have not been provision for him. It was at the brook where water was provided. It was at the brook where ravens, who was selfish in their nature, came and fed him supernaturally. Say with your location. Listen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was praying, and the Bible says that when the soldiers came to fetch him, and it was over 600 special forces of soldiers came to fetch him, and he was praying, sweating tears of blood, drops of blood, praying. As he stood up, Judas is there with the 600 soldiers to come and capture one man. And Jesus asked them, he says, what are you looking for? And they said, we are looking for the one who calls himself Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus answered them with these words and said, I am he. When he said and uttered those words, so much power was released that all 600 soldiers fell so the backward. Okay. So if they're saying, where's the scripture where people fall backward? Those guys fell backward under the power of God. That when they came up, they were so drunk, they didn't know what happened. Time was interrupted. They asked the same question again. You can go read your Bible. They said, we're looking for the one who's Jesus, when they stood up. That when Jesus said, I am he, it was the exact same words which God spoke to Moses and said, I am that I am. The exact same phrase. That when Jesus spoke those words, he revealed and switched over to his divinity side. There's another person on the inside of you. It is called the other man. Say with me, divinity. That when you're in the spirit, you can switch like this and the other person comes out. Are you guys with me? So when Jesus said, I am he, so much power was released, the guys fell backward. Number two, it says suddenly, at that moment, a naked little boy ran through the garden. Naked. In the middle of nowhere, in a graveyard. Are you guys with me? Sorry. There was a graveyard right next to Gethsemane. In the middle of nowhere, no town. In the middle of a war scene, a naked boy runs through. And the Bible says the naked boy had a cloth around him, which was only used to bury people. Which means that when Jesus said, I am he, just because that boy was buried in the right location, he happened to be under the influence. Say with me, location. It's an accidental miracle that happened to him because he was in the right location. Listen, say with me, the anointing dwells with the anointed at a location. That is it. Don't listen to this nonsense where people are saying, you can go into your room and pray and God will anoint you. No. No. Please remember that Elisha did not pray. Elijah came to Elisha and God said, Elijah, anoint Elisha in your place. He came through his mantle on Elisha. He followed him. And after Elijah went to heaven, he did double the miracles. He did not pray. He was anointed. Are you guys with me? There's a difference. There's a truth that people need to catch with the anointing. Anointing is given. God anoints a man in a location and laying hands on people, they get anointed. That's how it works. Look at every person that's been used by God. There's somebody that ran before them, except Elijah. The Bible says Elijah appeared, but that was just Elijah, okay? So he said, Elijah, go to that place, say with me, there, and there will be provision for you. It's a place called there. There's a certain place, number one, a location. And number two, there's a place called there, which I call a place of prayer. When you are in that place of prayer, it is a place called there, where there is supernatural provision. Listen, listen. Let me carry on reading. Go on to the next verse. Let me just see. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Next verse. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to him again, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Certainly there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I want you to see how cruel God is. God is telling to Elijah, I want you to go to a place called there. There I have already spoken to a woman to give to you. But this is confusing. Listen. Go to the next verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get, he called to her and said, please bring me also a morsel of bread in your hand. Next verse. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Are you guys with me? God is sending Elijah, saying to him, listen, I want you to go from the place, Brook of Cherith, where ravens supernaturally fed you. I want you to go to a widow because I commanded her to look after you. God never said nothing to the woman, or she didn't hear. Either one of the two things. Are you guys with me? Okay. She didn't hear. She didn't hear, or God didn't speak to her. So now the question is, how does God speak to you to give? Okay, anyway. And I'm gathering a couple of seeds that I might go and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Next verse. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some food for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry. And what happened is, listen, if God could make ravens give to Elijah there, do you think Elijah has to come to a woman to ask for help? God fed him supernaturally by ravens. It was not for Elijah's benefit for that meal. It was for her benefit. When she gave, she initiated a law that caused multiple of flow, which the Bible says her, the oil did not run out. As long as she brought empty jars, the oil was filling up. Are you guys with me? But she had to activate it. But listen, anyway, it's not an offering message tonight. Say with you, the place called there. And it goes on. And I'm not going to read through the scripture, but we can see Elijah's journey. And he goes to the prophets of Baal after year. Fire comes down from heaven. And then he runs away from Jezebel into a cave. And God says these words to him. So he was first in Samaria here. Then he ran away to a cave after he beat the prophets of Baal. And God said to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? Say with me, here. Elijah changed location. He changed from a place of Samaria to a place into a cave of running away. And God said, listen, Elijah, you are no longer there. You are here. Something is wrong. What are you doing here? And when he changed location, the call changed and God said, okay, it's over. Go and anoint Elisha in your place. Okay, I'm just saying some truths for those who are open. He said, go and anoint Elisha and Jehu and so on in your place. And then you'll see that from there on, Elisha was anointed, and there the whole transition came in. Because he changed, he was disobedient from a place called there. A place called there, it's a place of prayer. Listen. I want to see how to bring this in. place called there, prayer. In prayer. And when I speak of prayer, I don't want to say getting on our knees and just with no relationship, just making a noise. Prayer must be rooted from relationship. Are you guys with me? Out of there comes intercession. Out of there comes supplications. Out of there comes prayers, and et cetera, and et cetera. Intercession. And the different types of prayers, which we'll still preach on in the next few weeks. But out of there comes those prayers. Out of what? Relationship. In that place of prayer, say with me, revelation. That is where our eyes are open and revelation comes. Go with me to Luke chapter number 6, verse 12. Listen to this. Jesus was in prayer, and I think, let me read this. It says, now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued, say with me, all night in prayer to God. He prayed right through the night. Listen to what the result is. Next verse. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Are you guys with me? In the place of prayer, revelation came to him right through the night, and he knew exactly whom to choose of the disciples. And he even chose Judas, knowing what Judas is going to do, where Judas is going to betray him. It happened in a place of prayer. Are you guys with me? Say with me, power. Go with me to, and we'll kind of like come into an end to begin to pray for people. Go with me to Luke 5 verse 16. Listen to this. So he himself often withdrew, say with me, withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Next verse. Wait, go back one. He often, it was a practice for Jesus to withdraw himself from people, go into the wilderness and begin to pray. What that caused and resulted in, let's carry on reading, go to the next verse. It says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord, so the power, was present to heal them. He just came out of prayer, and the power was present to heal. Are you guys with me? Only when you're in a place called there, in a place of prayer, will you have revelation. Will you receive power? Listen. We preached this morning on becoming a spiritual man. And I'm going to preach probably, I think, September or so. We'll do a big day on hell and just hell. Preach on hell, the reality of hell. When Jesus spoke of a story, which was not a story, it was a real story. It was not a parable. He said there was a certain man by the name of Lazarus. And there was a rich man. And the Bible explains how the rich man died and Lazarus died. Lazarus went to be in Abram's bosom and the rich man went to hell. And the fact that Jesus even mentions Lazarus there as a name explains that it was not a parable. Are you guys with me? Then the Bible explains this. It says the rich man was in hell and he looked and he recognized Lazarus. And then he asked him, and he said, please go, he said, please, do you have a drop of water to throw on my tongue? Which means your spirit man has a tongue, has a mouth, has eyes, has ears. Are you guys with me? You are a spirit in a body and have a soul. You are a spirit. You as your person is a spirit in a body and you have a soul. This spirit man goes to hell. The rich man says, just a drop of water on my tongue. Then he goes on and he says, just if you could go and tell my family and my relatives that there's a place like this. And Abram said that even if I do that, they would not, sorry, Abram the Lazarus, and the story goes on, it's explaining that even if they were told of that place, they will not listen. Even if people were raised from the dead to tell them, they will not listen. Which means that the rich man in hell had senses, had history, understood, remembered his family, remembered the life that he lived, had the ability to say he needs water to quench his tongue because of the tormenting and the eternal fire that just kept on burning. Even when Jesus was speaking of hell, explaining the word Gehenna, and he would point to a place, a rubbish dump outside of the city called Gehenna, where the Bible says where the fire does not go out and it keeps burning, where the worm does not die and keeps eating. And he said that is a type of picture of what hell is. Are you guys with me? That Matthew 7:21, and this verse really frightens me, that the Bible says that these people, some would come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we casted out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We healed the sick in your name. But I will tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. In fact, he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The word workers of iniquity speaks of rebellion and people who do not submit to delegated authority, but is going out to do their own thing in ministry. They're casting out devils. They do these things, but they're in rebellion against any form of submission. Workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Even when you thought, I never knew you. The place where that is fixed is with intimate prayer. Are you guys with me? So with your relationship. So when I speak of prayer and say that we'll receive the spirit of grace and supplication and prayer, it starts off by having a relationship with God. Going into the secret place, and I've preached on the secret place, that the Bible says he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But he who dwells, not visit. He who makes the secret place his permanent residence, his permanent address. Are you guys with me? The secret place, the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Say with him, Most High. The secret place is in the highest place, which means that when you live there, you live above everything else. You rent the place called the secret place. You live in an address, which is the secret place. God puts his people in the secret place as an incubator to prepare them for life. Listen, it's like when a baby is born prematurely. They take the child and they put them into an incubator. Am I right? An incubator that resembles the womb, that has the conditions of the womb, to prepare that baby so that it can face life when it comes out. Are you guys with me? The secret place is the same thing with that. When God is saying, listen here, I have this ministry, I have this call, I have this business for you, but I need you to dwell in the secret place, the incubator where you will be prepared for that which God has called you to be. You'll be, the conditions, everything will be there to prepare you for birth, to prepare you for the birth of your destiny. So through the secret place. The prayer of relationship happens in the secret place. Out of that comes revelation. Out of that comes power. I thought of it today. Never look at a preacher or somebody moving in power in the supernatural and think, oh, that just happens. Oh my God, I wish. It happens in a place where you are on your knees, having a funeral on your knees. Dying to yourself on your knees. Even if those that are your friends are betraying you or this or people are saying this, you're at a place of continually dying to yourself, giving up. I told you, there was times in my ministry before, as I was developing, I remember when I was trained by Pastor Mark, there was a time where I had to repent and apologize to about 17 people for something that wasn't my fault. But God was testing me. At that moment, I could have said, stuff this. And I remember I had to go on my knees. Tears had to come out of my eyes. Otherwise, it was finished. And I'm sitting in my heart and I'm thinking, but I never did this. What was happening? At that moment, I couldn't see the future. But because when I got saved, my relationship with God was developed in the Word. I was in prayer because I was dying to myself all the time. I could be meek and I could say, I'm dying to this moment now. Even if I'm right and even if these ones are wrong, I'm going to accept wrong to keep the relationship. And out of that, promotion comes. Listen. Prayer. The Bible says, the Spirit of grace. I will see that I will not pour out on my house the Spirit of grace and supplication. Prayer is a grace that comes on a person. When that grace comes on you, you are covered, you are baptized. But King David, in fact, King David said these words. He said, they accuse me. They have, in turn, they have become my accusers. And he was speaking about people. He said, the one I went with to the house of the Lord to worship. He said, I walked with you to the house of God, speaking sweet counsel with you. You were my friend. And in turn, you turned against me and began to accuse me. But I return my love to you. And he explains this word. He says, I have got it into prayer. And with that, I return my love to you. In fact, the word there says that David has become a form of prayer. And with that, he began to pray for them. He was so baptized in prayer that the word says, I have become prayer. King David says, I have become prayer in my return for your love, for my love. I have become prayer. When people looked at me, they saw prayer. The devil doesn't look at education. A sickness doesn't look at educational qualifications. It listens to one voice, a believer that has a prayer life. Are you guys with me? The devil doesn't speak English or Afrikaans or another language. He listens to a tone, a frequency that a believer has in their voice, a frequency that touched the glory. Listen, when Jesus was speaking, he was casting out devils in the book of Mark chapter number 4. And the Pharisees said this, who is this? And they go on, they said, what is this? Question mark. And then they go on, they said, what new doctrine is this? Question mark. Maybe you can just Google it for me and that I can just show people, because I'm throwing things out and people think it's not there. I think it's Mark 4, Matthew 4. Is what is this new doctrine? In the Greek, when they said, what is this? The Bible refers to the Greek sentence. I want to read it to you in the scripture. No, it's not this. Mark 1:27. No. I don't know. Just give me the scripture. I want to read this to you. I want to explain to you and we'll kind of like flow out of this. Where's the Bible? Give me the Bible. Let me look. Is it Mark 1:27? This is, yeah, it is. Then they were all amazed. Listen to this. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? Question mark. That phrase in the Greek goes like this. What is this in his voice? Question mark. What is this authority in his voice? That what is this new doctrine? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Go to the next verse. And immediately his fame, say with your fame, spread throughout all the region. They said, listen here, what is this authority that demons would listen to one word, that he would rebuke the storms and the storms would listen? What is this in his voice? It is somebody who touched a frequency of heaven with the glory of God in prayer. And when they come out of that place and they speak, demons listen. Listen, when Jesus was on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, when he was transfigured and he had an encounter with the glory of God. And the Bible says he was transfigured, which means that there was a transfiguration. He was changed into his divinity. And they came walking down the mountain. The other disciples were at the bottom of the mountain trying to cast out demons. And they could not. Are you guys with me? The demon was throwing itself around. And the people came to Jesus when Jesus was walking down the mountain. And they said, listen, your disciples, they can't even cast out a devil. And the Bible says that when Jesus was walking down the mountain, the people began to run to him and saluted him. They recognized authority when he came walking down. And Jesus said, listen here, what is this, you perverts? He called his disciples. You perverts, how long must I still live with you that you cannot even cast out a devil? And by authority, he set the boy free. Are you guys with me? First of all, Jesus called these disciples perverts who didn't carry the anointing. Power, prayer. When you have a prayer life, the devil listens to somebody that has a prayer life. The Bible says that some Jewish exorcists were trying to cast out a devil, and the devils and the demons said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? How did they know about Paul? Because of a reputation he carried. Just stand to your feet, wherever you are, stand to your feet. La Roska Travarakadla Bondre Denamaya Zadrodus Ketrebena Masodoya.